Let me tell you a story about Eric. It was when I was, I guess, 43 years old. That's about 9 years ago. No, I must have been 45, and Eric was 2. It was Easter. I could hardly wait to get to church. I'd been taught that way as a child. And then throughout the seminary, I was taught that Easter was a good Sunday for ministers. And I was in San Antonio where on a good Easter we had 1,200, and I knew it was good for ministers. And now I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota in a house church where everyone would be there and it would be 30. And I looked forward to a full house called 30 people. And I imagine that I came quite a distance to make sure that I'd be home at Easter. And when I came to the door of this house where we were going to meet that Sunday, and we rotate where we meet, a girl who had helped plan the service that day said, "You get a name." I said, "I get a name?" "Yes," she said, "you get to be with someone today." I said to her, "I want to be with everyone." But she said, "You get to be with one. You just choose a name." And it suddenly dawned on me that if I hadn't moved, that maybe this year we'd be up to 1,350 if the church council had been busy with me. And I was going to get one. I was sure it would ruin my Easter. And I wasn't trained to have a ruined Easter. You don't get much encouragement to have a bad Easter where you're down to one person on Easter. And I drew the name and I got Eric, who was 2. And I wondered what Eric and I could do. I knew what I could do. I didn't know what Eric could do. I had quite good education. Eric was 2. He was baptized. I didn't know if he was Lutheran or not. He didn't know if he was Lutheran or not. Eric heard that we were going to meet outside for a half hour, and outside meant grass, and I knew that could spell trouble, so I knew what I would have to do is practice a little church discipline called get his hand. So I grabbed Eric's hand, which was gone, and then I had a terrible feeling. It was a sinking feeling, more like Good Friday than Easter, that Eric didn't like me, and I was to spend a half hour with Eric. And he was running through the grass, rather undisciplined, suddenly stopping and shouting, "See!" And there he was leaning over a rock, just a little one, and looking. And I wondered what Eric knew about rocks and stones on Easter. I knew it was nothing but a rock. And I had a story, and I worried that he didn't know the story. And while I was looking at that and wondering, he gave it to me, and now I had a gift. I could hardly believe it. So I dismissed it and knew that it was an accident, and I grabbed his hand, which was gone, and Eric was running through the grass, shouting, "See!" I thought, what a marvelous theme that would make for a minister's sermon. See, twice he spoke, and both times see. I thought of a bulletin cover, because I sometimes work with sacred design. I could just see it. See, by Eric. And he was looking at a flower. It was marvelous. I thought of all the lilies. On a good Easter, we had 32 lilies. I was looking at a dandelion with Eric. And while I was looking and wondering how he knew about flowers and rocks at Easter, he picked it and gave it to me. I had 2 gifts. We were barely going. We hadn't even turned the page in the bulletin. And I had 2 gifts. I had seen a rock and I had seen a flower. And now I grabbed Eric's hand because I thought maybe it would be worth it for me to go with him. And he was gone, tumbling through the grass, over and over, shouting, "See!" and his hands were up. And not having a teacher's guide or bulletin in sight, I looked at what it looked like, and it looked like he wanted me to pick him up, which is what he did. And he said, "Higher," and on his shoulder, on my shoulder sat Eric. And now I had a gift, Eric. I thought, surely we're done. Three good parts, a rock, a flower, and Eric. And Eric was now pointing to the house where the 28 were shouting, "See!" And I knew now that what Eric wanted was community. He wanted them to see Eric and Herb with the flower and the rock on Easter. All that in that day that I thought would fail. It's one of the only Easters I remember. What do you see? Sometimes when I go to the seminaries and teach, and I'm a freelance teacher, that means doesn't mean I'm free. It means they lance me. No, it means I am in a tent ministry, and sometimes the only textbook or the only thing I require is that everyone claim an object for 10 weeks. They know a lot. Just amazing what these women and men know in the seminary, these students. I don't mean the faculty, I mean the students. It's just amazing. And what's more amazing to me, and certainly to them, is what begins to happen when they move that information around. And some of it begins to rhyme, and some of it prays, and some of it becomes curious, and some of it dialogues, and some of it turns into paintings, and some of it turns into sculpture. And when they begin to translate some of that information, it is amazing. And I remember one student who brought a walking stick. He had it for 10 weeks. I didn't think it was so strange. There's one guy who had a paper clip, but that was easier. He could always hide it. But what do you do with a big walking stick? And he would come into this room with a walking stick, and some I heard one day say, "What you doing with that?" He said, "I'm going somewhere." Now that made more sense. That was the most sense that this student had made all year. He was going somewhere. And at the end of the 10 weeks, when each of the students created some space and time to which they invited people, one, I wouldn't call it an examination, I would call it more an invitation and a celebration. And there stood this student with his big stick and a knife and a book of some of his favorite tiny readings. And I didn't know he read that well. And he then would give the person the stick and the knife and say, "While I read, you carve what you see." What a treasured test. I mean, this was his exam paper. Or couldn't call it an exam paper. How do you see? Carl didn't do well unless he could get a hold of it. Eric didn't do well unless he could bend over it. And Eric didn't like it unless he could give it. And he felt best on my shoulders. I just thought we'd look at Easter a little differently tonight. I'll give your fingers rest in a moment, Danny, when I just kind of go through some what-ifs. All of these what-ifs I know because I've done them. I know some things, but mostly what I know and what I talk about is what I have experienced. I don't enjoy talking about the other things. I mostly enjoy talking about what I have experienced. What if sometime we sang Christmas songs at Easter? What if sometime we went out and planted the tree on Easter? What if we all brought together pieces and we made a quilt? And on Easter, it was part of our offering parade. And we gave it to the next baby who would be baptized into Easter. What if we brought a shoe that had been somewhere with us because it was ours, and instead of throwing it away, we potted it, and we brought it on Easter? What if we decorated cookies as we do at Christmas on Easter? What if we all brought used candles and we melted them and made one huge candle and used it as our Easter candle in the parish? My son Chris, who just went out on the bus for a few days, he'll be back, goes with me sometimes, and when they say, will you come? I say, if Chris can come. They say, Chris who? I say, my son. So he goes as a potter, he goes as a welder and a guitarist. And then I go to in between all of that. But I can weld too now. I learned it here at Holden and have taught hundreds to weld. I've taught seminarians to weld term papers and weld typewriters. Sometimes it's better to weld a typewriter and talk about it. I like the illiterate. They have stories. It seems as though their facts are all cradled and couched in stories. And they're all true stories. And they know they're true. So we went down to Tampa, Florida, Chris and I. And I said, just have lots of metal that has meaning. Like, you know, if a piece of, like a screwdriver that broke and it was, maybe someone gave it to you or you got it when you were in shop. When we got there, the whole floor was full of bumpers and fenders. I wasn't looking for big metal, I just wanted tiny pieces. We needed a truck to get it out. We're not big welders, we just weld little. And when the evening was over and the stories had been told, I looked at this, and it was now in the front yard of the minister, and I said, what do we do? And Chris said, oh, I think if we cut it all up into tiny pieces and made Easter flowers out of fenders and bumpers, we could do it. So we did. And we covered it with a cloth and told them not to look until Easter, and we left. They liked it. It was a picture of renewal. How do you see Easter? I want you to sing with me. Five times, a beautiful song. Beautiful Savior, King of Creation. Just those two lines. I don't think we need more.
Beautiful Savior, King of Creation.
That's very nice. We just hold the shun. Grandma Emma, I liked her. I still like her. She died. Before she died, she'd come to our house church, and Grandma Emma was 80 and black. She was illiterate, and when we asked her what she would talk about, she always said the same thing, 80 years with Jesus. And she talked about being sick, and she talked about cornbread, and she talked about going to Detroit, Michigan. And when these are things that Grandma said, a lawyer wrote them down. And he wrote on a piece of paper as Grandma Emma spoke, and this is what she said. In my heart, I'm educated. Give me Jesus. I always looks to where I was to know where I'm going. When I go to Detroit, Jesus gets on the bus with me. I thought, that is sure dumb. But Luther said he gets into my heart, so I thought, well, he can get on a bus. And we wrote it down. We wrote down all these things, and then we laid them out on the floor, and we put our bread and wine on, and we read them. And each one that was read, Grandma would say, that's true, as though she had never heard it. And she agreed with herself. So we appliqued them on a pillow and gave the pillow to her. She cried, and she could not read it. And whenever Grandma came to speak with us, the first thing she would say is, you was looking at the Lady of the Lord. And she swiveled when she talked, and she never sat. And she would turn, and she addressed all of us, and she'd even look behind her, as though someone might be there, and there usually was. And we said to Grandma, where did you learn your speaking? She said, I never learned to sit behind a desk. And when Grandma died, that was the only thing the family wanted, was the pillow. And the other day, when my daughter married her grandson, they knelt on the pillow. And I could tell them truly that she was their mentor. And she is the one truly who gave them their history together, and a history that's greater than black and white, their history of Christ's grace. And she is the only one really in the faith in whom they're both in touch alike. Grandma Emma is their minister, and they knelt on her pillow. I really like that story, and I would like to sing, Beautiful Savior, King of the Detroit Bus. And we can hold bus. Bus never gets sung. I've never seen it ever in a hymn. So we may as well make it grand. Beautiful Savior, King of the Detroit Bus.
Beautiful Savior, King of the Detroit Bus.
It's nice. I heard a little harmony in that bus. Doesn't hurt to harmonize some of these words. Those words will never get in the next hymnal or the next. Another story. These are Easter stories. I took a willow stick. Someone had given it to me to give to Jim. I didn't get to Jim yet, but I took it to a church on a Wednesday night. And I said, let's say hello to the stick. Now the people there didn't mind because they had asked me to address the children. And the children said, hello! So it was working. I said, look at how green it is. Now say, hello. And someone said, hello, green! And everyone said, hello, green! I think from now on, as my story goes on, you might even do things like that. And then I kept holding it up. They like to look at things. Most people do. It's hard to get the impression of green willow stick by putting it on a banner. It's quicker. You just hold it up. And I held it up and a child said, hello, tomorrow. And the people said, hello, tomorrow. And someone said, hello, Grandma, for she had died. And the people said,
hello, Grandma.
And someone said, hello, Resurrection.
Hello, Resurrection.
Hello, God.
Hello,
hello
God.
Hello, Green.
Hello, Green.
There was no discussion later. We did not have a forum. I'm certain that not everyone agreed to what it meant. but they were talking about tomorrow, talking about grandma, and talking about God, and talking about hope, and they were open, and they were into eschatology, and they were into all those things, some of which they will never spell, pronounce, or read, and only know by heart. Beautiful Savior, King of the Green Willow, that will sing nice. And when you sing the willow, let it kind of, this is a spring willow. It has spring in it. It's not a winter willow. This is not a winter willow, this is a spring willow.
Beautiful Savior, King of the Spring Willow.
We'll do spring willow, okay.
Beautiful Savior, King of the Spring Willow.
I was in Iowa. I'll go wherever they ask me if I can come. And in Iowa, I said to the people, and they were about, 16 years old, let me teach you the catechism. And they said, I said, please. So we all stood facing me, and I taught them the catechism. And I was looking at them, and they were really facing me, but they weren't seeing me. Behind me was a pond, and they were looking right past me. And I knew they were very attentive, but they were not looking at me. And their eyes were past me. And we were into the catechism, and I looked back and I saw a pond, and the birds were diving. And they were feeding, and it was marvelous. And it was faster than flannel graph and cheaper than a kit. And I saw the whole catechism being enacted back there. And I joined them, and I said, what do you see? We went through the entire catechism. They saw creation. They saw the laws of nature, of God. They saw family. They saw providence. And they saw daily bread. And they saw dove and diving into water. They saw everything. And we had a marvelous time standing at the edge of a pond, getting in touch with everything, which is what the catechism of the churches is all about. Everything. It's that dialogue between the world and the Word, the water and the Spirit. It's a very nice story. It happened in northern Iowa. Beautiful Savior, King of the Diving Bird.
Beautiful Savior, King of the Diving Bird.
And it was Easter time, 3 years ago. I wanted an Easter rock festival, so Lois and I went out and we hunted 1,000 rocks. And we invited people to an Easter rock festival and told them if they came, we'd give them a rock. We had 800 rocks left. We got a rock band, gave each one a rock, and they played rock music. I also had potatoes there because I didn't want people to think that on Easter I just favored rocks. And I also had some wood, and I had a hammer and some nails, and I had a saw. And while we played Easter rock music, I told them about sparrows and asked them if anyone would like to build a sparrow house, and no one wanted to. It was Easter, and I had the band play a little better, and no one wanted to build a sparrow house except one man. I didn't realize at that time that he was in charge of prisoners, and he understood something, I guess, so he started to build a sparrow house. And it took me a long time to get the sparrow house finished. He never completed it. So I took it on the airplane with me for 20 weeks to Columbus, Ohio, and to Springfield, and I made finishing it a requirement in a creative ministry course. And it was very hard. They read a lot, but they didn't want to build. One person finally did finish it, and he painted it a robin egg shell blue. But it is a sparrow house. It's not big enough for a robin, and it's too big for a wren. It's a sparrow house. And I think it's probably the only active thing that class did. And they do remember how it felt to have pity on something that they so disliked. It has been with me in many places. In fact, when the 10,000 women came together in the American Lutheran Church Convention, I took it with me and just hid it underneath a ladder on the stage because I wanted it also to have been there. One day I wanted to take it to a prison, but I haven't found a way to get it into prisons. You can't get sparrow houses into jails. Not long ago, a congregation liked especially to see it because I'll show you where the sparrow house rested. If this is a cross, right here, it just sat up there in the front of all the people, the sparrow house on the cross. And I asked them if they thought it fit. They said they not only thought it fit, they wanted to keep it. And I told them that it was mine. "What does it mean to you?" I said to the children. "Oh," they said, "it means that Jesus loves birds." And he does. Last week I sat up here and I talked to someone who said, "What do you do about the non-Christians?" I said, "What do you do about the trees?" He said, "Would you say that the non-Christians are about equal to trees?" Well, I said, "I don't know. It's pretty hard for me to figure out because it says to me that all earth is groaning for a new creation and Christ died for all of it and he holds everything together." So he said, "What about the evangelicals?" Well, I said, I think if evangelical comes from oiangelion, and that has to do with gospel and grace, I think that Jesus died not only for human nature, but for nature. And he came to win it all back. And he reached over and touched the tree and said, "I never saw a tree like that before." I would say, nor a sparrow house, nor a prisoner, nor sometimes myself. But he even came for me when I groan for redemption. So I read in Romans 8, "Beautiful Savior, King of the Sparrow House.
Beautiful Savior, King of the Sparrow House."
Shifting just a little to another kind of song. I like 7777 at the top of the hymnal. It means, "Go to dark a semene, la 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 la. Go to dark a semene, he that hear the tempter's bow." Someone said to me that she wanted to sing last night. Well, I asked her to sing. I wasn't sure if she could sing. So I just asked her what else she did, and she said that she had apparently taken a course in hematology. Now, hematology is 5. Hematology, plasma. I got her to write some words. Last night was a blood festival. Last night was the festival of the Lamb. I would have sung this, but there wasn't time. There wasn't even time for some of the things we did. But we did them. We hurried at times. You know, and I know how I could have hurried it more so we could have gotten to bed by 10:20. But as it was, it was 10:35. But I thought that I would try and sing this song and have you hum a little. But don't hum so loud that you can't hear these words. But hum loud enough so that if I mispronounce them, you wouldn't mind too much, okay? You think I'm fooling around? I'm doing what in the seminary is called hermeneutics. In hermeneutics, you try to get meaning out of making relationships. And that's what I'm doing. When we were going to have the Festival of the Lamb in Minneapolis, a man luckily came through from Australia, not just especially to talk to me, but he was on his way to St. Louis. His name is Norm Hobble. I spoke to him all the way down the hill this morning because I was very sad. I knew he couldn't hear me because he lives in Australia. But I did talk out loud. And I did talk out loud and I kept saying, "Norm." And I said things that I knew he'd understand, because he was in drama, and when we would be together, sometimes we just kind of talk about how things were. So as I came down the hill, I was talking to Norman. And when Norman came through and heard I was going to have a lamb festival, he said, "You've got to get the bloodmobile in." I said, "You mean get a bloodmobile into the American Lutheran Church Women's Convention while everything else is going on?" "Oh," he said, "yes, for lambs had to do with blood, and blood had to do with life, and I think that would be fine." So I did. And I never found out if anyone ever went into it, but it was there. And it was there. It was a very strange experience for me to ask a bloodmobile come to a church convention for the Festival of the Lamb. It was as strange for them as it was for the women of the church to understand it. But I think it belonged there. I think we can think about its meaning later. We don't have to know everything when it's happened. Most of us don't. The Hebrews remembered their history later, and then they turned it into scriptures. The Babylonians saw it and forgot it and just dropped the whole situation. And let me just see if I can do this, and then you can hum. Hematology, marrow, serum, plasma, bone marrow, protozone, antibody, hematocrit, lymphocyte, protozone, Gethsemane, globulin, Gethsemane. It's weird. I wonder who ever thought of that. Well, I'll just try one more stanza. See if it improves. I know for years I did something like this, but I was more careful. But I didn't have my beard then, so that was a different situation. I wasn't as old and mature and wise and all the things that come with grayness. I was going around saying, and Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me potatoes. And kids just thought that was the funniest thing they ever heard. I was hungry and you gave me milk. They screamed, no. I was hungry and you gave me meat. Oh, they laughed. I was hungry and you gave me food. True. And they were so glad I knew. Food is potatoes. Sort of a mild true. Food is meat. Food is milk. I was hungry and you gave me potatoes. True. Blood is protozone, lymphocyte, albumin? What? Well, how's come you know and you're not even singing it? What do you do with these words you learn? I mean, what do you do with, like, Detroit bus? They're never in there. The canticles have been talking about sea monsters for years. Oh, I'm sure that you probably, I'm sure you do this at home, but I'll do it anyway, just once more. Pauline. I know what you could do. You could just kind of whisper, don't sing too loud, because I want to get to these words here. You could say, go to dark Gethsemane, go to dark Gethsemane. See, if it's 7777, you can borrow any of those lines. You already know that, so I won't say it. you can borrow any of those lines. You could just repeat them. So here we go. Tetraacetic acid, antigen vessel plasma, marrow lipid lymphocyte, bone marrow desmoplasm, erythroblast albumin, artery Gethsemane. I'm so hung up on how big those drops of sweat were, like blood, that I sometimes lose sight of the blood and what that really was. I know people who really like this business of the Paschal Lamb. I think that once in the lifetime, maybe one should really get a look at what Easter was for even the Jewish people. It was a lamb they went out and bought and named and loved and hid under the pillow. Huh? And then they won first prize in kindergarten if they had kindergarten over the weekend before. Dad said, hey, that's the one. They said, which one? He said, the one you gave a name. And the kids cried, that one? Yeah, he said, the one you love. Brother Lamb, that one. That one will eat tonight. And the blood will be on the door. Maybe, you know, maybe once in one's life one ought to eat a pet canary. Maybe once you ought to just take, you know, the dog that you've had for 12 years and say, we'll have that for Thanksgiving. Now you're getting close. I remember a priest with whom I used to do some worship, creative worship workshops with the Navy until his fellow priests just wouldn't tolerate him anymore. They would tolerate me because I was only a Protestant, but he was one of their own, and he should know better. But I remember when he went, well, I mean, he did things that I thought were strange. He told them the story that he, at Thanksgiving time, he came to his nephew's house, and they had this huge turkey, and it was so gorgeous, and they were ready to eat, and then the children said, what is it? And this was their pet turkey, see? And they named it, and they said this was the turkey, and the children all cried. They said, we won't eat it. He said, we're only kidding, it's a sparrow. And they ate it. A little gross. But how does one get into and really beyond the words? Because words only point. Words are not an end. Objects only point. Objects are not an end. And the bread and the wine is not a dead end. It points. It always points to something else. Finally points to community, and community points to Jesus, and Jesus points to the Father. I don't know who the Father points to. Probably beyond the Father. But nothing ends. When it ends, it's an idol. You should really grind it and eat it quickly before sunset, lest you sleep with it. But you really, really should play with words and images and objects so that you don't get surrounded by it and take it so seriously that you have now been captured by your own imagination and by the words that have been given you as a gift to point you quite beyond themselves. Christ really never pointed people to himself, but beyond himself, always on. Always on and on and on and out and to and then through. I like the old statement, glory be to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. I love prepositions. Sometime when you have a whole year, just take prepositions. That makes a difference between so much. Just look at this picture. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. You got, or Spirit, you got that picture? You see them arranged almost. Now, glory be to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. Try that one. Glory be to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. Different picture. We see what we say. Eric was saying, see! But he was seeing what he said. He was pre-book. And we're called to be post-book. And post-word, finally to where you're in mutterings like, oh, lo, behold, whee! Wow! Really? You must be kidding. And all those great theological words. Do we have 3 minutes? Oh, yes. If that clock is near right, we have a song, Denny. Pick a song you like. I would like the green song again. I really like it. Were you thinking the same? I have it here. This is an Easter song. It's green. I may as well hold up green. Inside here, I have some. This is an outline of Easter. Easter in Norway. Well, Bergen to be specific. Well, hooked up with a little town in Wisconsin. Because I got the green in Wisconsin at a congregation. Oh, it's a long story. We won't have time for the story. But inside, I have an apple core from a woman who's not green. She's not green anymore. She was green. Her child died, and she's regressing emotionally, mentally. And her husband is taking care of her now as though she's a child. But he still takes care of her in Bergen. And she didn't say much to us. But she gave us an apple when we left. I have the apple core. I'm returning it to her when I go back to Bergen. Does anyone want to send me to Bergen? I am saving it because there are green times. They always come after seed times. Like we heard last night, after autumn comes winter, and then comes summer, but then first is the spring. Here's a green song about a green man who walks around this village with a green hat, and sometimes a green suit, and sometimes a red and a blue suit, but to me he's a green man. He has a little cane, the only shepherd's crook that I know in town, but he's a green man. Okay?
Man in green, the man in green, the man in green. The dawn is bright as man can be, and straight as evergreen. Weathered in the days and nights, the storms and candlelight.
He knows storms.
As the walking from that stable, we're all.
When you see him sometime walking around, just imagine he's walking away from the stable.
Straight as evergreen.
Well, he really is straight as evergreen.
Weathered in the days and nights.
He's a weathered man.
Storms and candlelight.
Oh, yeah.
As the walking from that table, we're all become more able, terrible, lovable,
lovable,
man in green.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that a nice song? See, this will be sung in Norway someday, and they won't even know this man in green in Holden Village who had a restaurant for about 47, 8 years, and he just, 2-3 days ago, no more in the restaurant business. How's that feel? Well, he understands things. He knows storms and candlelight. Oh.
We sing again?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, all right. Never make the hymn wrong. It'll only make the people. That was real funny, but I'm not that impressed by hymnals if they miss people. I like community singing. Sons of ours went down the hill today, the one we may not see for 2 years. And I wondered, where will I go in the village to find an Easter? Well, I went to see David. And David was sanding his wood and sitting in his chair. He sits around a lot. His presence. I knew where I could find him. I didn't know where I could find a lot of other people, but I knew on that porch they would be there. And he was for me a man in green and straight as evergreen. And he knows storms and candlelight, and being with him, and watching Omar lay the walk, I got through. See, that's what I mean by community singing. Doesn't mean we always have to know all the words, but we should know the people. And if we can't sing the people, why do you like to sing texts? Because texts always point to people. The text pointing to God never missed the people. He never asked us to ever miss the people. He never said, miss the people. Even if you goof a text, you can make it up with the people. Thank you for being under this Easter tree.